Well, this is just pretty simple little thoughts here, but the Lord's been talking to me about it, so if he talks to me about it and we talk about it, it's probably an important thing in our life. I'm thinking about the scripture in Matthew 5 and 6. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, I want to explore the thought this afternoon about hungering and thirsting and being filled, and what makes a person hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and what is it? Do we have any part to play in this? Are some people hungry and others are not? So I want to think just a little bit about a few things. You know, some people, we'll read a couple of scriptures about how that people get hungry by being destitute of food and water. The water of life, the food that satisfies the soul, and then pretty soon they don't even know what they're hungry for many times, and they fill themselves with junk and all of those things. But you know, the Lord wants us to have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I know I told you a little bit ago, because this was on my mind. But when I was 18, I started kind of coming around the saints a little bit, and about that time. And through my life, I was a tender young man, and I wanted to serve God, and I never went way out and did crazy things. But I didn't know the Lord. In my best efforts, I didn't know God. And so I was wanting to serve him, and that was about it. But when I started coming around and I began to go to some of the school functions and some of their Christmas times and all of that, and their things they were doing, and a young people's meeting or two, and I started going to the Huskies home, which I married one of them. Thankfully, and I began to see family worship, and I began to see people that had a burden for other people. I didn't know a thing of that kind of thing. I knew nothing of that, and I began to see people that when you came there, they wanted to pray, and I didn't know anything of any of that. There was not that reality in my life. But I'll tell you what it did for me. My soul began to hunger. And I began to... I don't have Ivan's testimony. I was sitting there thinking, I remember when this man was a young man. I came around when he was, 18 or 19 or so. And we kind of began to get to know each other. But you know, I began to seek the Lord with all of my heart. I began to, and this isn't about me, but I will tell you, I needed God. My failures were many and foolish, and I'm not going to tell you all of them, even though I wasn't a real bad guy. But you know, when I began to pray and take time to be quiet before God, and I began to fast. I wanted something that I knew I did not have. And I wanted it bad and began to seek for it. And there was times that that I would begin to spend time in my room alone, just seeking God, praying, calling upon him, because my soul had been woke up. And I will tell you, the Lord, and I was seeking during that time sanctification, and I knew I needed that. And do you know that the Lord so met me and so filled my need and so changed my life that it's still changed today? And so when I began to come around the saints then, and the first meeting I ever got to go to was in the old chapel over there. And this was December of 79. And I cannot express to you what it was like to walk in the chapel and hear the singing. And the Lord had just sanctified me and filled me with the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I literally felt like I was, it was just, a heavenly place does not describe it. Because I felt like I was in a heavenly place. And you know, the Lord changed things in my heart and in my life from there. And began to call me and began to work. And I found that it was Him working and not me. And that's what always before it had just been my efforts. I had just tried to be a good young man, a good boy. But my heart had never thirsted after God and never thirsted after righteousness. I had never known what it meant to hunger after the things of God. But I will tell you, when your soul begins to get hungry for the things of God and you start searching after the things of God, things change. I was thinking about what it's like in different illustrations, maybe. I remember one time I've seen a few animals, dogs, when they got really thirsty and it was hot summer. And I'll tell you, you ever seen a really thirsty dog? When he comes up to the bucket, I mean he's all into it. And after that, do you know that the Lord wants to fill us like that? There's something so satisfying to a hungry person when they eat a good meal. I experienced that yesterday. I was hungry, and there was all this feast spread out there. And after a while, I was full. I was satisfied. It just felt good. Do you know that spiritual things can be like that too? And God wants them to be. And so I want us to just think a little bit about those thoughts this afternoon. And you join in a little bit. This may not be very long. But I just want to challenge us that we become hungry and thirsty after the things of God and be filled with the Lord. In John 6 and 35 is another scripture. And it says, "And Jesus said unto them," and there's plenty of other scriptures around this that we could read, but I'm just going to stick kind of the point here. "Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now these people were so in the flesh in their thinking, they could not comprehend what he was saying, because Jesus also told them, "Except you drink my blood and eat my flesh," you know, and they got so offended, they went away. They just went away. But some of them followed him, and they knew that he had the words of eternal life, and they were determined to stay close to the Lord. Peter was one of those. "Are you all also going to go away? Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so we see in the sixth chapter, there's quite a lengthy thing there about hunger and about what the things the Lord said to them. But he said, "I am the bread of life." You know, to a hungry soul, to a hungry person, he's using an analogy here that we can well relate to. To someone that's really hungry, oh, I'm telling you, a piece of hot bread with butter on it is really something. But you know what? The Lord is like that to our soul. And so he wants us to know, not only do we get hungry, but he said, "I'm the bread. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, I know we're going to hunger in the flesh, but I think in our spiritual life, we don't ever have to hunger again for the things that fill the soul. We don't ever have to hunger in the way that we chase down the things of the world. We don't have to hunger in that way. So just want to start this little Bible study that way. Anybody have any input or comments at this point?
Related how that when you first came around the Huskies, you noticed something that they cared about other people, and they had family worship, and there was something you saw there that was appealing to you.
Yes,
that it caused you to hunger. Mm-hmm. So we have an effect on people's appetite sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you know, the other day I walked in my mother's house. And her mind's not always working just real good right now. But I walked in there, and I smelled fresh bread out of the oven. I said, so you've been baking bread? She said, oh, no. Well, she had been. She just didn't. But you can't miss that smell.
Yes.
You know what it is. It's the aroma. Mm-hmm. Now, God wants us to... How do you whet somebody's desire? Yeah. How do you cause their hunger to? I may not have been very hungry for bread until all of a sudden I smelled that, and I could just about taste a good fresh slice of that heel with good butter on that. It's, you know what I'm talking about. Once you've had fresh bread right out of the oven like that, it's just you kind of want it.
Yes, you do.
And that's what happens when the Lord helps us to leave behind a sweet aroma in people's lives.
Yeah.
Well, blessed are those that hunger and thirst. There's going to be something they get.
Yeah.
It'll help them.
Amen.
Scripture says, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" A hungry person is always glad to go to service.
Yes. Can you keep that hunger for the Lord all through your life? Is that possible? I think it is. I don't think we have to just fall by the side of the road and we don't have any hunger anymore. So I want to talk a little bit. I want to discuss and ask you all your thoughts a little bit about how we maintain that kind of hunger. But I want to go on and read a few other scriptures first. John 10:10. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, I believe the Lord wants you and me to know that the Lord has what we need. And so he said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I want to look over in Psalms 107:2 and read a little reading here. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about how this all works. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." You know, I think as you read down through this whole passage, you get a picture that people that try to fill their lives out of the things of this world, they land up hungry and thirsty. And many times they don't know what they're hungering and thirsting for. And lots of times all around us we see people and they'll live for the next party. They'll just live until for the next nice thing they can buy, or the next weekend, or whatever it is. And all the time, the things that matter in their life that could bring joy and hope and enjoyment in life and peace, they're missing those things. The very elements that they're trying to find, they find themselves only getting deeper in debt, trying to find something that won't give them and won't satisfy their need. And so here it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And sometimes during prayer meeting, I like to say that at the beginning of prayer meeting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know what? The Lord has done something for us, has He not? Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We were there. Can anybody here say they weren't in the hand of the enemy at one time? It says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. None of us can boast about where we came from. He gathers His from everywhere. Anywhere that there's a soul that will hunger and thirst after the Lord. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them by the right way. I know that's not politically correct, folks. But He led them by the right way. There actually is a right way. And that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Do you know anybody like that today? I know people today that are bound. They're bound by habits. They're bound by drugs. They're bound by things that nobody can see in their private life. And they're ashamed. And it brings conviction to, and it hurts their marriage, and it hurts their home, and they're bound by those things. Do you know that those people need to see a way out? And I believe what we have to give them is the aroma that Brother Ivan was talking about. The aroma that stirs up the senses. Hey, here it is over here. You want it? You want the food that you'll never hunger and thirst like that again? It's over here. It's the Lord. He has that for us. For He satisfieth the longing soul. Let's see. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. But then it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. You know, I think about this kind of person. I was visiting with somebody just a week or so ago, and they were weeping and crying and telling me how hard it was because of the things that in their life that they had went out there, purposely went out there, drifted out, however you want to say it. And the devil began to put them in chains of iron and began to work and destroy and kill and steal from the family and began to change things and began to take those valuable things, those good, holy, and godly things, those things of honor and integrity, those things of good, close relationships, those things of wisdom and being able to make good decisions, they're all gone, largely, in this family. And this one was weeping and crying. Weeping. I mean, you just don't know what I go through. You know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is, isn't it? And we feel for that, don't we? But folks, I want to tell you something. It says they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. And that's what happens. And people go out with a high hand, don't they? Against God and against His people many times. and the devil begins to work. But listen, there's hope for those folks. And it says, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Do you know we have a message, folks? The world, I don't know how the devil has successfully been able to twist the message of salvation and joy to the world into the message that the world has of Christ. But he does that, doesn't he? He does that. I've seen that lately and been thinking some about it in the elections. No matter which side people are on, it's amazing to me that it does not matter what is said, good or bad. It will try. The attempt will be made to twist it into something bad. On either side, that's just the way. That's called politics in America today. That's the way. But it gives you a little picture of what Satan tries to do. And so he twists these things. But you know, it says they cried unto the Lord, and then he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And here, for the third time in this little passage, it goes right back over the territory again. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Now, you know, everybody might be afflicted in their body sometime, but we don't have to be afflicted as a fool. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord. There's a place there where people realize, I'm hungry. I am starving. I don't have anything. In fact, every good thing Satan has took from me. Have you ever had somebody weep and cry and tell you that? About how they have so little left? And how much they had maybe to start with? Their soul, let's see, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So I'm just thinking about some of those thoughts this afternoon. And I want to ask us, I know this clearly depicts how people become starving. They become decimated. They become hungry by sin. But on the other hand, how can we maintain spiritual hunger and thirsting for the Lord and for righteousness through our life? I'm just going to throw that question out there. How do we maintain that?
This doesn't answer that question, but in the case of the prodigal son, he had to hit a real low place.
Yes.
Feeding the pigs. And he'd lost, or was penniless, and he remembered the bread. And if you imagine, he had hunger pangs out there, not wanting to eat what they ate, but maybe he was tempted to. But he remembered the aroma or the bread,
yeah,
that was back at home, and that there was plenty for even the servants.
Yes.
So he decided, I'm heading for home. And he started on his way. He didn't know whether he was going to be rejected or accepted. He was rejected by his brother, but accepted by his father. But he was hungry. Yeah. And I remember Brother Doug Wall telling about a woman in Africa that walked 10 hours to get to meet with the brethren. Mm. And after she walked the 10 hours to meet with them, she fainted. But she must have had a degree of hunger that motivated her to walk 10 hours to be with the brethren. There are degrees of hunger. A child out playing might come in and say, I'm hungry. And if a mother said, I don't want you to have cookies, I saved your Brussels sprouts. He might say, that's okay, Mom, I'll wait. But that could be a degree of hunger. Maybe he was hungry, but not for Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
But there's a lot of people hungry for gambling in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And a lot of people hungry for education and different things. But for the unvarnished truth, there's a lack of that in our world.
Yeah.
And so hunger is a motivator. And to keep a hunger would exercise help that? Spiritual exercise help to keep hungry?
I believe it. What's that, Sister Jan?
Prayer was one thing that will help you when you're hungry. I know I pray usually when I have such a longing in my soul. I pray and I go search the website for messages to listen to, and different things and songs that I have saved on there. And
yes.
It feeds my soul.
Thank the Lord. Amen. I've seen you come a lot of times, Sister Jen, when it was not easy.
I think that we're not going to have much desire for something that we don't like. And I think it's something within our own power, it's in our own hands, that we can receive a love for the truth.
Yes.
We can seek for it. And I think the more we experience the truth and the effects of it in our lives, I believe that alone will whet our desire, keep us hungry for more.
Yes.
You know, we sang a song a while ago that said, my soul is satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so. There's a satisfying portion in the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we don't hunger for more of the Lord. We found what, you know, we're not looking for any other brand. We found what we're looking for.
Yes.
We just want more of Him.
Yes.
And so we're not hunting for the worldly things. I'm satisfied. But I am looking for more of God.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And I think that's what this is. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because
yes.
There's a filling portion there. You're going to find what you're hunting for.
All right.
You remember, and you might have the scripture. I don't want to jump ahead of you, but Jesus and the woman at the well?
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't have one.
You notice how that she was hungry, thirsty, and didn't know it.
Yes.
You know, she didn't recognize how thirsty she was. And Jesus addressed it and said, if you knew who it was that was here talking with you, you'd ask me for a drink.
Yes.
And she was still thinking of just water. And she said, Lord, you don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to get me something to drink? And then he looked at her and said, go get your husband. And there's something in her that I believe at that moment she was going to, something drew honesty out of her. I believe the Lord Jesus draws honesty out of all of us. And she looked at him and said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right.
Yes.
The one you're with right now is not your husband. And something about that, I think inside her, she knew there was a deep longing that she had not really. What drove her to find all these husbands or all these men? What drove her? She wasn't satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
She was thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus dealt with that and said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. But it didn't take long after the Lord started working with her that she ran back to the and said, come back out here, and I found a man that he isn't this the one. Yeah. Remember that? He's told me everything I ever did. So there was a... He dealt with her hunger.
Yes.
And he didn't leave her without a drink either.
Amen.
So how do we maintain our hunger? Well, part of it is spiritual exercise, prayer.
Yes.
Also developing a love for, she mentioned Brussels sprouts a while ago. I think there was a time maybe I didn't like Brussels sprouts, but right now, if my wife fixed me a good pot of Brussels sprouts, that's about all I need for that meal. And I can about fill up on Brussels. I love them now. But when I was a child, there was a time I don't think I felt like that, but I've developed.
Yeah.
I love them now. We can develop a hunger. We can develop a taste for something. Y'all know what horseradish is? In the Bible, I think it was called maybe one of those bitter herbs that they used. But I grew up around some grandparents that liked horseradish, and I first taste of it went up my nose. We didn't like it. But you know what? I like horseradish now. I developed. And we can whet our desire.
Yes.
The more we involve ourselves by hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more I want it.
Yes.
It'll be satisfying, but the more I hunger for it.
Yes. I believe that. I'm thinking about two or three things here. One of them, the most obvious probably, is spiritual exercise. I believe that lots of times, I really think this is key to a lot of spiritual prosperity, is that we truly do the will of the Lord in our life. That we get busy and do what God wants us to do. And I believe many times the ill is there because we just haven't moved into that place. God is wanting us to move into His will, into His work in ways. And I think of this many times with many people. I feel like, I'll tell you the easiest way to realize that you have plenty is to start helping people that don't have anything. And then you'll realize what you've got. And it's good for your children too. But I really believe that. I think the scripture tells us to not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And it says, so much the more so as you see the day approaching. How many times have you and I can say for me it's been plenty of times over the years, that I didn't feel like coming to church. I just didn't. I was tired. I was uninspired. I just did not want to go. It was just like, but you know what? For me, and I know for many of us here, it's not an option. It's not an option. If service is going on, I'm going to be there. Unless I really can't. And I know there's times that you can't be. I understand that. But I will tell you, I cannot tell you how many times I have went in that place and then realized, wow, by the time I left, it was so totally different. I was like, I'm sure glad I went to service tonight. And, the Lord has a way of filling our needs like that. And so we want spiritual hunger. Get in the place where He can fill us. And I believe it'll help us with our hunger. And I think part of that hunger is an on-purpose thing. I don't personally just only eat when I'm just hungry. I like to kind of keep scheduled a little bit. And so if I get sick, I eat anyway. If I know I need to eat, I eat. But you know what that does? It keeps your body in a place, at least in my opinion, it does, where when it's time to be hungry, then you're hungry. But if you're exercising yourself in the will of God, there's a hunger that develops. And I tell people lots of times, find your place in the Lord, in His body. Find your work for the Lord. Don't make it all about me and mine. If you make it all about yourself and about your things, there's not going to be a lot of spiritual hunger. I just don't believe it. It's not going to be there if our whole life is centered around us. But when you open your heart and doors like the Lord tells us to, and He tells us we've got responsibility to others, and He tells us we have responsibility to the widows, to the fatherless. He tells us that's part of pure religion and undefiled. That's part of it. And so we neglect that part of it many times, and I think as a result, we don't have much hunger, and then we're not filled. And then we get discouraged. And it's all something where if we would have been in the middle of God's plan to start with, it would have helped things a whole lot. Is that right? That's the way I found it to be. And I believe that when you do that, when the Lord gives you a calling, if you refuse to do that or you do it haphazardly, it's not going to work right. But when you're in that place, I have to be at service for myself anyway nowadays, for sure. But you know what? I found that the Lord supplies, he supplies the well, He supplies the water, He supplies what we need when we are in the place God wants us to be. And with others, I've seen some men that are gifted with their hands. That is their gift. That is what God has called them to do. And when there is a need, they're there. And I've been reading through the Old Testament, and the Lord told Moses when they were building the tabernacle, He said, "So and so and so and so and so and so. I've called them. I've what'd He say? Something like gifted them with wisdom to be able to do the work of art and all of those things, the engravings and the embroideries and all the things that had to be done for all those things." He said, "I gifted them with wisdom to be able to do that." Do you know that that's some of that water flowing? That's some of that grace of God that the Lord wants to flow through our souls? And so I say it's a multifaceted thing. It's not just prayer. I think if all we do is pray, and our reason is so that we can be blessed, then it's still about us. And we're not very big, are we? But if we're doing the will of God, I believe there'll be some spiritual hunger that comes from it. Well, I'm not going to bore us too long here. Do we have other thoughts? I want to give us one more scripture in Psalm 34 and 10. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Do you know there's so many places you could go with all of that? You could go on and on. In Psalms 1 or Psalms 23, it talks about drawing a blank here. "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Wow, what a promise! You know, the Lord has promised to fill us and to be in us a well of water welling up into everlasting life. He said in another place, He said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what the Lord said. That's what He said. Is that what He meant? Did He mean that? I know we're not going to always be just at the peak of inspiration, but I will tell you, I believe that God wants to give us hunger. He wants to give us filling. He wants to give us that natural fulfilling that happens. And it's a cycle that happens till the end of our life. And then we go on to be with Him. And so I believe this. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Do you have any other thoughts today? Comments? Yes.
That not necessarily talking about patience there either. It's talking about attending to the things of the Lord.
Yeah.
"They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, when you're out of spiritual food, you start getting weak.
Yes.
But you attend to the things of the Lord. You'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with the wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary.
Yes.
You'll walk. And you, that means you eat these good things. Strength will be there, and the victory will be there, and the happiness will be there. The right living.
Thank
the Lord.
Just
right.
He said that he was the bread of life, and he said he would fill us. And he said we'd never hunger or thirst again. Wow, what a promise from the Lord. So the Lord help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after the things of God. The callings of God. I don't think it's wrong to hunger and thirst after God to use your life. I think that's a healthy sign. And I remember as a young person, Rosie and I just felt like, well, you know, what can we really do? And, you know, we are not in the... You know, we don't get called, and we don't know what's going on, and all of these things. Well, I will tell you, give yourself to the Lord, and to His will. Ask Him, Lord, would You use my life? I think that's a wonderful request, because there isn't anything better than the Spirit of the Lord moving on something, even if it's you. There's nothing better than that, and it's a beautiful thing when God does that. Y'all pray for me too. I'm kind of out of season here today, folks, but the Lord bless us each one to hunger and thirst after righteousness.